Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Dog, it's a special show, man. You know what this show represents?
No, I don't. What does it represent?
It's the 100th episode of the Urban Sports Scene.
Woohoo!
I tried to bring a reunion to this show. I tried to get Ray to come. I even offered to get Fish back here. Fish couldn't do it. Ray couldn't do it. You know, Al couldn't make it because he had a basketball game. We couldn't. I thought it'd be nostalgic to have a show, 100 episode with everybody here.
But luckily, you know, it's 52 weeks in the year, so we still have, what, another 4 episodes before the 2-year anniversary. So, you know.
That's true. I mean, I'm not going to knock that. If you didn't know, it's the Urban Sports Scene. I'm here with my homeboy, Will. I am Wally. Al's not here, like I said. Ray's not here. The Urban Sports Scene's still kicking. We're doing it strong. Man, how you been, man? You haven't been here for a while.
I've been good, man. Been good. Recovering from my multiple ailments. A lot of work, a lot of things going on, but I'm good though. You know, cool.
I must say, it's glad to have you back. You know, the Urban Sports Scene ain't the same without Will T, Ray Jeezy. Al was there. He helped hold it down. Like I said, Al is our newest member. He signed a lucrative deal for free. Said that weeks ago. I believe it's one of the coups of signing people. I feel like I'm who would be one of the best GMs out there ever? Cause I signed you,
Jerry West.
Yeah, Jerry West. I'm the Jerry West of the Urban Sports Scene. So it's all good. First off, the Urban Sports Scene is part of the Eyes Radio Network. You can check us out on their website. It's www.eyesradio.com. Such shows on there are Chris and the Commish, which covers all sports in the DMV and also nationally. A show that's similar to ours is Voice of the Fan. It's hosted by Jeff, Alex, and AJ, Cool Cats. And if you paid attention to the Eyes Radio Network, you would know that they have a soccer show. Well, they did have a soccer show called Upper 90. They're no longer with the Eyes Radio Network, man. They're on 106.7 The Fan on their internet stream side. So big ups to them. Big ups to Justin.
Congratulations, guys.
Exactly. Justin, Bodie, and Austin. They have an entertaining soccer show, so make sure you catch them out. Like I said, they're on 106.7 The Fan. They're on their actual, the internet version of the radio station. So big ups to them. And also, big news for the Urban Sports Scene. We're everywhere, but now we're also in a new spot. Vivian from Apple G's, and they've created their own internet radio show.
The lovely Vivian,
of course.
And Coach Rodney.
Yeah, Coach Rodney. You can't beat him. We're going to be on that internet radio show, internet radio station. It's called Real People, Real Talk Radio. The site is our site's managed by our good friends, Apple G's. You can tell I'm reading the script. you can tell. But make sure you visit this site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. If you haven't checked it out, I forward the link to Ray. He was impressed with it. After the show, I'm going to forward to you too, so you can check it out.
Definitely,
good though. It's real talk. It looks good. It's a clean site. Got a nice little slow jam music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, make sure they give him a picture of me like this.
Oh my God. If you didn't know, Will T is rocking a beard right now. He's looking like a baby boy though. He got the little do-rag. You know what I mean? I'm scared for him.
Drinking my Stella.
Hey, real talk. He's suspicious. You know, take that how y'all want to take it.
Nah, man. Don't put me in that suspicious category, man. That's another subject for another time.
That is another subject, my man. But pregame.
Our tradition.
The pregame. Tonight, the Caps are playing the defending champions, the Boston Bruins. 0-0, matter of fact, right now. And the first period has ended. It looks like it's going to be a tough game. Exciting game, honestly. But do you think the Caps can pull off the upset?
Possibly. You know, last year the Bruins, when they made their way to the championship, they upset the Capitals. The Caps were the first.
No, it wasn't the Bruins.
Oh, it wasn't the Bruins?
No.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, that was the Rangers?
The Rangers.
I mean, Buffalo. Buffalo. Yeah. Sorry, Buffalo.
Well, one of the past years, the Bruins upset the Caps as the lower seed, so. You know, maybe it's the Caps' time. Maybe because there isn't as much pressure on
the
Capitals now.
That's it right there.
They had the seventh seed.
Play it off,
so, you know, they could just slide in there. They can advance all the way to the
playoffs. I take blame for that because, you know, we came up with a game plan. Like, you were supposed to read the questions to me.
Hey,
that's my fault,
good.
Man.
Hey,
you know what
hey,
I mean?
Hey, things happen.
So, I'm going
to just go with the flow.
I'm going to let you read the next question, though.
And who should be the starting goalie in the series if Neuwirth is healthy? Neuwirth or
Hobie. You know what? I've had this discussion on Twitter a number of times, and Matter of fact, it's been tweeted too, so I'm going to get to that too anyway. But I'm going to go with Holtby. I like Holtby. I think Holtby has it. Norbert, last year in the playoffs, I was not impressed with him. I've never really been impressed with him. I think he gives up way too many easy goals. Honestly, the Caps defense does play a part in that because they give the ball up in their own neutral, in their own zone, which makes it harder on Nuvert, or Nuvi, that's his nickname. But I like what Holtby has to offer. I think, you know, he stops the easy shots. He has some swagger to him. It looks like he's confident.
We don't
what
use
he, what
swag.
Do.
We don't use.
Oh, that's
that
what
term.
I use. I use swag. You know
no,
what I mean.
We don't use words.
He has poise. You happy? He has poise.
Thank you.
He has poise.
I'll tell you what swag means off air.
All right. He has poise, and I like how he conducts himself. But in this series, I think the Caps can definitely win this series, and they have a good chance to win this series because, like you mentioned earlier, it's very important. They're the underdog. They're the seventh seed. The Boston Bruins are the defending champions. They're the two seed. We saw how the Capitals were when they were front runners. Now they're the underdog.
No pressure
on
them.
No pressure on them. And to me, they still have probably one of the most talented teams in hockey. You have Ovechkin, Simmons, Backstrom, and Green. You know, and those are four guys that on any given night that could help a team win a Stanley Cup.
Probably four of the top 35 talented players.
Yeah. And the Caps, you know, all the Caps need is to play better defense and have good goalie play, which is essential. In the postseason. But like I said, we had a Facebook comment, George Templeton, who also on Twitter, he's George Temp the Rat, cool guy, man. He said he'll take Holtby all day. He's the only one of the goalies that the Capitals haven't tried. And I just sense that the kid has got that certain something that will make him a fantastic goalie. I agree with you. I stated that pretty much already. On Twitter, Matt Hammertime has Holtby. I agree with you. This one kind of got me. On Twitter as well, at CMoney0314, he has Nuvi. I got a bad feeling Holtby's inexperience is going to hurt the Caps. Like I said, I like what he has to offer. We saw what Nuvi can do in the postseason last season. And, you know, he gave up some big goal games in the postseason last season. And this season it wasn't as strong. But moving on to the Redskins.
Your team. The team you love.
And we are getting headlines. We're getting the headlines. I'm enjoying it, too. I'm enjoying it.
This is what you do in the offseason.
No,
you guys always
get
the headlines
in the
offseason.
Not this way.
You guys do. This is
what
you do.
No, last year y'all won. Last year y'all won the offseason. Let's be real. Real talk. I'm on my Kevin Hart. Real talk.
Okay. I'll give you that.
You know what I mean?
Last season, we won the offseason championship.
I'm glad you admit that. Because last season, we were doing a show. That never came out your mouth. You know what I mean?
I'm reflective. I'm a year older.
Oh, man, nah.
More wisdom.
Oh, whatever.
I got a couple more gray hairs now.
Oh, my. We all do, man. We all do. Well, RG3 has met, you know, with Kyle Shanahan, so it looks like we're going to, well, pretty much giving him the playbook already. What do you think about that?
Isn't there some type of rule against giving the playbook?
Not at all.
Because he's not officially a part of your team?
Nah, not really.
Well,
because you could do it for a rookie. You could do it for a guy who hasn't been drafted yet. You're allowed
okay.
to.
Okay, well. Like
not
I
for
said,
the place for the team though.
Like I said, it's still a lot of time to a lot of things need to be seen. How the Redskins are going to use RG3 if that's the guy who's
oh,
there
that's
at number
guy.
Two.
It is. He's already carried. He's already pretty much.
You
carried.
Never know. You
no,
got you
we
got
know.
The Redskins could decide to draft Ryan Tannehill. With
you're
the
right.
Second
that's
pick.
Not going
to
happen. That's cool. I hear you. I hear
they
you.
Get Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. You're right. No, it's not happening.
No, but
that's Matt. That's Ryan.
It'll be interesting. I'm glad that. The Redskins are giving him a head start, allowing him, because just this move right here, just working with him before the draft, lets me know that the Redskins expect for him to be the guy from day one. So all the Redskins fans saying, oh, we got no more Rex Grossman, no more John Beck, you're going to get your wish, RG3 is going to be your guy. And believe me, in this area, if he has a smidgen of success, he'll be the king of the city.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. He will be the star in the city. We're in a city that we do, though we have bad teams, we do have individual stars. Ovechkin from the Capitals, John Wall for the Wizards, and Steven Strasburg for the Nats. And we'll have RG3. I mean, we all know nothing trumps a Redskin star.
No, that's the thing. This Washington, D.C. area, metropolitan area, be clear about it, has not had a franchise quarterback since
Joe
the days of Joe Theismann.
Which is bad.
Yeah,
it's
so that's
bad,
like
man.
Almost 30 years.
Yeah.
So if RG3 has a little bit of success, is at least mediocre his rookie season.
Oh, watch out. And you know, and let's be real, Skins fans. We finished 5-10, 6-10. Six and ten, for our first year. 5-10, our second year. Shanahan's second year.
So y'all showed improvement.
No, he didn't.
5-10.
No. 6-10 for his first year.
Oh, excuse me.
5-10 his second year.
You know,
5-11. I'm sorry, I said 5.
You know, I don't keep
excuse
up.
Excuse me. I said obviously 5-11 his second year. I said 5-10. I'm slow. I said 5-11 his second year. So RG3, I'm not expecting a playoff year. I'm a realist. I'm not expecting a playoff year. If he does get us to the playoffs,
that's good that you're a realist.
If he does get us to the playoffs, that's a great season. That means he's went over what I even expected.
Let me tell you this. I just came from the barbershop, actually. There are a lot of people who are expecting Cam Newton-type numbers from RG3. They expect him to break Cam Newton's rookie passing records and rushing records.
That's different because, you know, Cam Newton, the Carolina Panthers did a lot for Cam Newton. For him to do that, they changed their whole playbook, honestly. RG3, I don't expect them to change the playbook. Do I think RG3 is a better passer than Cam Newton? Yes, I do. I think he's a better passer.
Absolutely.
He's a better passer than Cam Newton. Is he mobile? Yeah, he's as mobile as Cam Newton. He's faster. Let's just move on, Dan. We're doing a lot of RG3 talk, but RG3, we love you in DC. You know, I love you in DC, man. I'm glad you're going to come be a skin. Redskins signed Duval High School star and standout, and also from University of Maryland, Madu Williams. This is Ray, man. Ray's not here. They went both in the same high school together.
Yeah.
Ray's not here again, like I said.
One of my coworkers is a good friend of him's. Her brother is a good friend
of
his. He has depth to the safety position.
He's not a starter.
He's definitely not a starter. He has depth. He helps you on special teams, maybe. But I'm glad to see him coming back to the area. Hopefully he can contribute to the ailing Redskins secondary.
Sure, Will. We have Brandon Merriweather. So, Madu Williams starting? No. But he does bring depth. And also, he does have ability. And, if Merriweather goes down due to an injury, we can plug in Madu Williams and see what he can do. I have faith in Madu Williams. I think he could do a decent job. I just hope we don't ask so much for him. I hope he doesn't compete for the free safety spot.
He might.
I hope he doesn't, because that's just putting him in a situation to fail.
That type of safety. You guys brought in Cedric Griffin, and from what I gather, there's some speculation that Cedric Griffin would probably be like the nickel or dime corner, or maybe free safety.
I would love him to be moved to free safety. I don't think he's good enough to play nickel or dime at this point in time to be effective.
Like I said, you guys are always the paper champions. So.
No, that's y'all. You all. Don't, again, you're going against what you just said. The paper champions last year were you all. It wasn't the Redskins.
At least we broke even. 8-8.
We did that too. The year that we were so-called paper champions. The year we really went ham.
You guys
really
have always been the paper champions.
No, the year we really went ham, we went 8-8.
No. The year you went ham and signed the guy for $100 million.
That's not the same thing. That's one player. I'm talking about when we really went in. We got Deion, Currier, and all them dudes. Man. So all don't right. just stop doing that, man. If you're going to call us out for real. But don't call us out with some phony stuff.
All right, man.
Damn. Making me mad out here. Damn!
Out here?
Out here.
LA?
Out here. Right. Seawalk.
Bounty Gate news. Sean Payton lost his appeal and Greg Williams didn't even try. Wonder why. In your opinion, which one was worse, Bounty Gate or Michael Vick and the Dogs? That was a cheap shot.
Michael Vick and the Dogs?
Yeah.
That wasn't because of you. Because actually, truth be told, I'm going to say neither. I don't think any of them were big deals. I think this whole thing is overblown. I think both were overblown. A, nobody was caring about Pitts back then until Michael Vick got caught. Most of the folks that I know were scared of Pitts. I didn't see people bringing Pitts just to have them as pets. It's the minority. I'm not saying that Pitts aren't pets. I'm just saying a lot of people breed Pitts for a particular thing.
For fighting.
Exactly. And then within this whole thing with Greg Williams, I listened to the tape thing when he got caught up.
I don't think there was nothing that was too over the top.
All right, I'm sorry. Let me be real with you. Peyton Manning's come back. He's gonna come back with a serious neck injury. What do you think a defensive coordinator's speech is going to be when Peyton Manning comes out?
If you can get him from the blind side,
I'm gonna knock his ass out.
Exactly. I don't think there's anything. Well, of course, you know, some of the language in him saying that Kyle Williams had concussions, less or Frank Gore less tap the head while he's on the pile.
Yeah.
But these are usual things that I don't think there's nothing over the top that anyone who played football wouldn't say they haven't heard before. I think the guy who released the audio is a coward. He's a punk. He wanted to get his 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, to do
you
that.
Got interviewed nationally. Now what? What's your move? What do you do? Well, what do you get out of that? Nothing.
They did a documentary. It was going to be a documentary,
yeah, it was,
right?
It was a documentary on Gleason, the special teams coach, because he has
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. He had a condition. I think it's Parkinson's disease, he had Parkinson's, and he wanted to do that documentary for his kids and also bring awareness to Parkinson's. The guy who released the audio decided to release it so he can get his 15 minutes of fame.
It's dirty.
It was a B move.
It is. It really is. Because, like I said, I think this whole thing is overrated. I can go on for days on that, but we have to move on. Last week, Al and I were talking about Brittany Griner, trying to see where she ranked in terms of female basketball players. But he actually come up with a list. But I spoke to Vivian and Coach Roddy from the Apple G show, and I actually talked to some people on Twitter, and they gave me this idea, like, all right, just name the top five female college basketball players of all time.
Diana Taurasi.
That's your one?
No, I'm just giving you names.
All right. I'll give you your order. But I'll let you go first.
Okay. Diana Taurasi, Cheryl Miller.
Yeah.
Brittany. I had to put Brittany Griner in there.
That's not bad. Just three, right?
Yeah.
What did you see before?
The girl, Moore.
Maya Moore.
Maya Moore.
That's four. That's five?
That's four.
That's four. One more.
And I got to go with my baby, Skylar Diggins.
I love Skylar Diggins. I couldn't put her on a list, but I love her, though. Skylar Diggins, big ups. I'm gonna tweet you, and you go listen to the show, too. And hopefully you'll be back on the Apple G show. Number one of all time, you got to go with the GOAT, Cheryl Miller.
Absolutely.
All right. Two is hard. But I'm going to go with somebody I thought was like that when I was growing up, Cheryl Swoops.
That's why I forgot.
Cheryl Swoops. I got to go with Cheryl Swoops. Three, I'm going to go with Lisa Leslie because back then Lisa Leslie was she was legendary back then. Four, I'm going to go with Brittany Griner because she is dominant. Yeah. You know, from that playoff run,
she's the most dominant female
is between Taurasi and Maya Moore. You can go either way. But really, on honorable mention, on the low, Tamika Hosclaw was a beast in Tennessee,
yeah,
dog. She's a beast in Tennessee.
I remember when she played in D.C., she actually used to go to the old Run and Shoot,
yeah.
On Marlboro Pike. I used to see her up there all the time.
Yeah, she's the hoop. She's the hoop.
I actually played against her.
Yeah. She can go.
She can go. She can ball.
All right, that's one. But hey, that's my list. Any arguments on Twitter, just tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. I think it's
tweet
a great list.
Wally.
It's at Urban Sports Scene. It's not no Wally at it.
No, I'm just saying, tweet you. You the one who responds to the
tweet. It's at Urban Sports Scene. Regardless, it's at. We a team, man.
One day I'll get on there and I'll tweet.
Stop lying, Ninja. You're a wild boy. Anyway, playoff race in the NBA is heating up, but as usual, the Wizards will not be a part of it. We get back, we'll be talking about the Wizards. And matter of fact, a player for the Wizards who's playing at a high level.
Urban Sports Scene
on Eyes Radio.
You for dig? Ages.
You can now hear the Eyes Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear the Eyes Radio Network, you have a chance to win some money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. Download it. It's free. Takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Eyes Radio, EYESRADIO, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand. No syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to enter promo code Eyes Radio when you register.
Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher is spelled S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smart way to listen to radio.
Man, you do that so well. I ain't gonna lie. You're like, you really do that well. I'm busy watching this Caps game trying to get a hold on it. And also, when you're on Stitcher, check it out. There's an opportunity for the lucky somebody to win $100 on Stitcher. I'm looking at it right now. Download the Stitcher app to your mobile device today for a chance to win $100. So make sure you do it. Check it out. Get the app. I got it on my iPhone, so I know Will has it on his.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we listen to Urban Sports on there, too, man. We doing big things on Stitcher.
We're very vain. We listen to ourselves.
You damn scared. We look very vain. And if you could tell that we're very – well, I'm very vain. Check it out. Check us out on our website. It's www.walio.podbean.com. You know, Walio is spelled W-A-L-E-O, and it represents my name, as Will always reminds me. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you want to email us or ask us any questions, do you have any comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. Also, we're on the Sports Crib podcast show, usually tonight, but I'm not going to be able to make it tonight, on 9 p.m. Eastern time. At 9 p.m. Eastern time, just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is hosted by Doc Hancock and West Coast Still a Fan. I won't be on it because I'm probably getting fried and getting some wings at the same time. Fried, if you don't know what that means I'm getting drunk, getting twisted. It is what it is. any objections to that?
No, sir.
All right, sir.
Let's hurry up and get the show over so we can go get fried.
Exactly,
twisted.
Sir. Yes, sir.
All right, NBA news. The Wizards are yet again not making the playoffs, but surprisingly, there are two guys that are giving us consistent play. One is Jordan Crawford. The other one, who no one really expected, is Kevin Serafin.
Yeah.
Kevin Serafin is a guy who was drafted by Ernie Grunfeld.
Ernie.
He was actually a good pick. I think he was like the 17th overall pick a couple years ago. Kevin Serafin, a lot of people said he's from France. They said it would take him a while to get accustomed to the NBA game, get accustomed to America, the fast pace and the physicality of the game. But it seems over this past month that he's actually became more accustomed once he's gotten the playing time. Like Al said a couple shows ago, the thing is with young players, you have to put them on the floor. It's one thing to let them practice, but until they get the live ammo, actual playing time, then they develop and then they can show you what they can do against live competition. And Serafin has definitely stepped it up. I believe ever since JaVale McGee has been traded, he's averaged something like I think it's 16 points and 10 rebounds.
Yeah, he's getting the time when Nene being hurt. The thing about it is, you know, we've seen Wizards players stand up and play highly well. When certain players go down, that's how Andre Blas came to play. You know, the whole team got traded. He started. Certain folks got hurt, and he played well. But the difference with Serafin is that Serafin works hard, though.
He's physical,
and he's outworking you. Like, and that's something that needs to be rewarded and needs to be acknowledged. It's not just skill, because he does have a good skill set for a guy his size. It's that he works hard.
Yeah, the guy's shooting like 56% from the field. But my only thing is, with his game, and that we just discussed it a little bit before the show started, him and Nene, their game is very similar.
Yeah, which is
very similar. Nene is more skilled at this point, but also Nene is injury prone at this point. My only thing is, you know, you have Kevin Serafin, who's shown this live streak over the past month. Then you have Nene. Both of those guys essentially play the same way. And who's to say if the Wizards get the number one pick, then you get Anthony Davis. That's a lot of guys in the front court who do the exact same thing.
Yeah. Well, Anthony Davis is different from those guys. That's a good thing. He's more skilled. He'll probably play the four if he came. He'll probably play the four if he comes to DC. If the Wizards are blessed to get the one spot.
I
doubt it too. But the good thing about having Serafin is that, you know, Nene is injury prone. You know what I mean? And if Nene goes down, you have Serafin. And also, you know, it's no problem having actually a talented backup big. You know what I mean? Like, the Magic had Gortat and Dwight Howard, and they made it work for a while before Gortat got hungry. He wanted to leave.
Yeah.
But they still made it work. So it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing in the making that Seraphin and Nene, though they, like you said, play the same, but at least you know you're getting that effort.
But, you know, it was a good pickup for getting Kevin Seraphin, but this just lets me know that their scouting department isn't exactly on their job. Because if you're the scouting department, you see this guy practice all the time.
Oh, okay.
And you know that he's developing a certain type of skill set. And you also bring in Nene, which could potentially stunt his growth going down the line. But
no, they believe in Nene. I think Seraphin just upped it up some more. I think they wanted Nene, and let's be real, they wanted to get rid of that clown JaVale McGee. I'm sorry, it is what it is. They really wanted to get rid of him, and they didn't want him back. They didn't want him here anymore. So they made when they're like to quote a wise man, when there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you this: there's a guy who's out currently for the Wizards, Andre Blatch, who did the exact same thing that Seraphin's doing.
Yeah,
once you know, once the guys who were ahead of him got traded, he came in during the end of the season, played terrific basketball. Do you think that the Wizards should lock up Kevin Seraphin right now?
That's a good question. I don't think it should be anything. I don't think the contract should be that extravagant, like Andre Blatch's was, like Andre Blatch's contract was. You should learn from that. You got like we said before, he's doing it in April.
Yeah, the last month of the season.
All right, let's reward him when he's doing it for the whole season. Yeah. Don't be rewarded for, like, that was a problem with Andre Blatch. He was rewarded for a portion of the season when everybody went down. And they always say, you know, people always say this, and it's true. When you're on a bad team, that's the best way to get your numbers up. You know what I mean? So let's see what he can do in the beginning of the season when everybody's has high hopes and, you know, no one's season's already over. Let's see what he's doing back then when they need him. Right now, it's all about filling stats. But I like the way he plays because I believe he plays hard.
All right, speaking of high hopes, let's talk about the Celtics. A lot of Celtics fans are saying this is the type of team we saw when they won the championship. They're coming on late. They've overtaken the Sixers for first place in the Atlantic, I believe.
It always confuses me. Yeah. But they're first place in their division.
Yeah, first person in their division. They just beat the Heat two nights ago.
Impressive. And they beat Atlanta last night.
Yeah, so this team is definitely stepping it up. Kevin Garnett, he's looking like the old Kevin Garnett. Ray Allen's coming off of the bench. Bradley is starting in this place and is playing really good ball, giving him, I think, about 11 points.
And playing great defense. That's the reason why he's playing over Ray and starting, because he's playing great defense.
All right, do you think this team has another run in them?
I do think so. But it's for circumstances, though. I always said this. The reason why the Miami Heat do not win the championship is going to be because they're poorly coached on the offense inside of the ball with Spoelstra. And Boston plays good defense. They might go through drops with scoring at times, but they play good defense. And we don't know about the Bulls because Derrick Rose has shown that he's getting hurt often. And the Bulls don't have Derrick Rose at full strength.
Yeah. Also, the Bulls don't have any continuity in that backcourt because Rip Hamilton, he was out for a while during the beginning of the season. Now he's back in. He's playing really. I'm not gonna say really good.
He's playing good ball basketball.
But they still need to build that chemistry, him and Derrick Rose, because you know Richard Hamill's the guy who runs off a lot of picks. You got to get him the ball where he wants it so he can spot up and shoot that jumper.
Yeah, but I'm with you. But I do think the Celtics team is dangerous. Don't get me wrong. I love the way KG is playing, dog. Really, I ain't going to lie to you. How he played against Miami.
But that was sustain that.
That was KG, the aggressiveness, which is that usually against Miami, he's played well against certain teams. But against Miami, he usually kind of takes his time. Like, he just shoots mid-range J's. But he took people to the post. He has him in the post. Turn around. He had Bosh, who's like 6'11". Turn around J.
All right, let me ask you this. I was talking to a guy just at the barbershop. The Celtics shot like 60% from the field. The Heat, this is probably their worst defensive game.
Yeah,
do you think that the Heat mailed it in for that game and just said, all right, this is a hot shooting team.
Yeah.
We're going to not necessarily take the night off, but we know we're going to contest them. We're going to run at them. We're going to contest them. We're going to rebound. We're going to see what we can do. But we ultimately know towards the end of that game, I get the sense that they kind of shut it down. They said, okay, we know we can't beat them. Let's save our energy for the next one.
They made a run. They tried. They really, you could tell they tried hard to come back in that game towards the end. They made a couple of runs during that. Even when Boston took it to 14, they made a run. I believe they cut it to 5. They made another run. They cut it down to like 7. So they made runs. So they did. I don't think they tanked it. They tanked the game. I felt that Boston had an answer for everything they did, though. That's what it was. They had an answer for everything. And I think if Boston, if the Celtics play inside out, they have a better chance of like really coming out of the East and winning a championship if they play inside out. What I mean is that Garnett realizes that, okay, I'm playing the five position, and there's no five in the NBA, really, in the NBA, other than Dwight Howard, that can defend me.
Yeah.
In the block.
That's a good point you bring up. Kevin Garnett, he does present multiple matchup problems at the five. Let me ask you this. You said they want to play inside out. If it's going to start from the inside out, it starts with Rondo. The guys, he set a record, I think, with like 15 games of double-digit assists. Yeah. If they go on to win another championship, do you think he would get the credit he deserves as being probably one of the top five point guards in the league?
Well, you know, I've been highly critical of Rondo on this show. Yeah, I've been highly critical of Rondo. But the one thing about Rondo, I ain't going to lie, man, this year Rondo has really impressed me. I've never seen, like, him play this aggressively, like, this season. I know it's a short season, but he's not scared to take jump shots. He's getting his teammates involved. He's really a leader. Now it's not really the big three. If it's the big three, it's the big three of Rondo, Pearson, Garnett. Allen is not in the big three right now. He's on the bench, but he's not part of the big three. Rondo should definitely be in talks of being, I think, top three point guards in the NBA, to be honest with you. Top four. Derrick Rose is another beast in his own right, but Rondo is like probably the fourth best point guard in the NBA, and I can say that easily. You got Paul, Deron Williams; those are traditional point guards. Rose, who I think is probably the most dominant point guard, and Rondo, who just flat out on a different level. So they're four great point guards. I think now, you know, when it comes to being in the Olympics, he should get that respect. Rondo is definitely, to me, hands down, he impressed me. I can't carry Rondo anymore. And when I mean carry, I mean like rag on him. I can't disrespect Rondo anymore.
All right, speaking of a guy you can rag on, Lamar Odom, he essentially just melded in for the season. I know he's gone through some personal issues with the death of his cousin.
That's
over
true.
His past
Other than that, yeah, I'm not. Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
And you know, allegedly, supposedly, he's supposed to be getting divorced from his wife.
Are they getting divorced?
That's what somebody told me.
Let it happen. Jesus.
What's going on with that guy? It came out during that put it over the top was he had an argument with Mark Cuban during halftime of their game on Sunday. And Mark Cuban essentially decided to say, I've done all I can do for you. We're just going to deactivate you for the rest of the year. I think if he's still on the roster after June 29th, there's an option in his contract that for $2.4 million, the Mavericks can buy him out and he can become a free agent. What's going on with the guy?
If it's because of, you know, what the disaster situations that have occurred in his life, then I can't judge him, honestly. Well, I can't judge him. But
let me ask you this.
If it's not, then that dude needs to man the F up.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, both of us, we work, we have jobs professionally.
Yeah.
We both have had things that occurred to us through our own personal life.
Yeah.
That were very hard and, you know, hard for you to cope with, hard for you to deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
What some people would say that as a true professional, you have to put those things aside. Yeah. And when you come to work, you do your job, you perform, and that's what it is. But this guy... The average guy, he can go through a lot of things and he still has to show up at his job and perform at a high level, or he'll get fired or won't get paid.
They always say this though, you know, when you're grieving due to death, you get an opportunity to relax, you get an opportunity to rest, even in your job. The job I had and some of the coworkers that, because I've never experienced death at this age as an adult. I haven't experienced death at this age. Now, when I was a kid, it's different. But at this age, I've never had to experience death. But you see other individuals giving time till they get themselves together. Now, this is like I said. If this is the case, he's had his time.
Yeah.
They gave him a lot of time. You know what I mean? So that's my thing. So if it's back to I miss LA, then Negro man up. Seriously, man up.
Me personally, I personally don't see why he would want to go back to L.A. after this is a team that traded him.
They carried you.
Yeah, why would you want to go back? I guess maybe his wife is there. That's what being apart from her is causing some strain in the relationship.
He's missing the TV?
I guess, man.
The Kardashians, they're taking a big hit ratings-wise?
I have no idea, bro.
Don't wish that dude. And let me put this on the record. I have always been a fan of Lamar Odom and his basket, his game. I've always defended Lamar Odom. People say like he's an underachiever, maybe. But I love his game. I think he could do a lot on the basketball court. I thought when the Dallas Mavericks signed him, that was an excellent sign. I mean, when they got him in the trade, it was an excellent trade. But this is ridiculous. I'm sorry, man. I watch. You know, you see athletes out here that had like Brian Urlacher. His mom died.
Yeah.
And he came back like the following week.
Yeah, Brett Favre, remember, his dad died, and he played the next day. So, for four touchdowns.
And I mean, and I'm not going to compare him to those dudes because everybody's different. You know what I mean? Everybody's different.
Most definitely.
But still, I'm just have to use that as an example because, come on, man, that dude's mom died, you know? Like, his mom died. Like, Brett, so it's like I said, if that's the situation, because his man died, and his cousin died. I think he hit
the pedestrian,
and that's weighing on him, then I'm not going to knock him. But if it's on the L.A. stuff, man up, dude. Man up. For real.
Man. Speaking of manning up, drop the music. You know what time it is.
You already know.
If we're talking NBA, we're going hard in the paint. I'm going to start off this week because I'm actually prepared.
That's my man.
Go ahead, Will. You know why I'm prepared? Because the guy I'm picking to go hard in the paint, we talked about a couple of minutes ago.
Kevin Sarafin,
baby. 16 points, 10 rebounds. 56% from the field. I'm picking Kevin Sarafin to go hard in the paint for this week.
So I'm talking about last week I took Mike Conley Jr. just because Al couldn't stand him and he was ragging on him. So I picked him anyway. And I didn't even know he was going to play because he was hurt before I even picked him. But he came back right in the right time. He averaged 13.5 that week, 4 assists. He had an 18-point game. I mean, he balled last week. So Al Conley Jr. definitely went hard in the paint last week. This week we talked about the tape. We talked about this guy too briefly. Avery Bradley, another way he's playing ball. He scored 11 against the Heat. He looks more confident taking his jump shot, which he didn't before. I like the way he's defending. He's starting. Ray Allen's on the bench, so I like to see. I like Avery Bradley going hard in the paint.
All right, man. Those were our picks for hard in the paint. If you're listening to the show, hit us on Twitter. Hit us on Facebook. Email us at change.
change.da.game6@gmail.com. But Will's thinking of our new email account, which is at Urban Sports Scene. Excuse me. Let me say that again. I'm messing up myself. @urbansports@eyesradio.com.
Let us know who you think is going to go hard in the paint this week. When we come back, we'll be talking MLB baseball.
O's Nats. Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
On Eyes Radio. You dig?
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
Welcome back from commercial break, everyone. You can listen to us on the Apple G's radio show at Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Coach Rodney and the lovely Vivian.
And that's like I told you earlier, the show on Sunday, we're going to be discussing Brittany Griner, see if she deserves to be in the top five all-time college female basketball players. So look up for that show. That show's going to be entertaining. If you ever listen to the show with us on it, it's entertaining, period. Actually, we don't even have to be on the show. They're entertaining as well.
It's a great show just by itself.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And again, Urban Sports, same on Eyes Radio. And also, we're on the Apple G's. We're on Vivian's, which is part of Apple G's radio station, was called Real People Real Talk Radio. Check them out. Like I said, it's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. Go ahead, Will.
All right, man, now we back. MLB MLB, Major League Baseball.
Yes, yes, sir.
Kicked off this past week.
Last week, actually. Yeah, man. Nats won today.
The Nats won today. Yeah. To extend their winning streak. Yeah. They're 5-2.
And Gio, and honestly, I'm gonna give credit when credit is due. I ragged on Gio Gonzalez to my coworker about how he pitched the first game, saying he reminds me of Oliver Perez. He came back and pitched well today. I believe he went 7 innings, only gave up 2 hits, had 7 strikeouts against a good Red squad. So yeah, he played well. So
yeah, this was actually their home opener.
Home opener, huh? Yeah.
1 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
I don't know why they did that.
No, because usually, I'll tell you what, usually on when you get a Thursday game, Thursday games and maybe Monday games, you get early starts.
Do it at night so more people can come.
Nah,
anyway, man.
Nah, people skip for baseball. They skip.
Okay. Yesterday, Strasburg, his first game pitching over 100 pitches.
That's good.
Really good. That's encouraging for Nats fans.
He
looked very durable. Hit 90 late in his pitch count. I'm excited about it. He went head to head with Johan Santana. Do you think that Strasburg, if he continues, shows this consistency, can be in the running for the Cy Young? I know it's only 7 games in, but
hell yeah, he could. The dude is talented. I don't call him Strasburg. I call him the Big Strauss. Like, you know, Strauss. Okay. You know what I mean? The Big Strauss. And he the boss. But that dude, he can do it, man. All he got to do is be healthy. We've seen what he can do. Over 2 starts, he's had 14 strikeouts. I believe he's had something like a 0.69
ERA. Yeah, 0.69. And for his career, I think he has a 2.42 ERA.
And, you know, with his stuff in a National League where there's no DH and he's seen a pitcher.
DH.
Yeah. DH, right? District Heights. Now, I'm talking about DH designated hitter. When you don't see one, that's going to even make it worse. So, yeah, Strasburg has a good opportunity to be a Cy Young winner. He's that good. He is that good. So
yeah, he's definitely brought his good stuff this year so far, but it's only been 2 starts. Speaking of a guy who's been consistent through these 7 games for the Nats, Ian Desmond. He started the season just right. Has he finally turned that corner, showing the progression to be
like
upper echelon, baseball star for the Nats?
Well, like you said, man, it's early in the season, but this is good, man. He's playing leadoff position. Today, I believe he went like 3-for-5. And before that, I think he had a good game, too, against the Mets. Ian Desmond's playing well. This is what they expected out of him, man. When they got called up a couple years ago and he was named the starting shortstop in spring training a couple years ago. They thought this he'd be like this. He was compared to a Derek Jeter. Like, mm-hmm. He could be a Derek Jeter. Ian Desmond has potential, and if he can continue to hit this way, the Nats are going to be even more dangerous. And also, you see Jason Worth?
Yeah. Now, you were talking about a guy with high expectations and a big contract. I believe prior to yesterday's game, the guy was like 1-for-15. I was watching the game. I was like, this bum. But then he goes and gets 4 out of 5, 2 doubles.
And so he follows that up today with a good hitting game, too. I think 2-for-5 or 3-for-5 today. Jason Worth attended like 296.
Yeah. So who would have thought?
Sure didn't. Should have thought this last year. Dude should be hitting.
He's getting paid to get hit. Like I've always said, that his contract is – he has a way overvalued contract, but, you know, whatever.
I'm happy for him, though. Honestly, I am happy for him because you don't want to see no man have that type of struggle. And, you know, there's so much pressure on the guy, man. But he's coming to perform. Now, if he can step up, you see Adam LaRoche is back, and he's been hitting
Adam LaRoche is swinging the bat really well this season.
So when Michael Morse comes back, he's out for 6 weeks. I want to see how that all works together because, you know, Michael Morse is going to be playing left field. And, you know, a first baseman playing left field, which he and Michael Morse has gold glove ability at first base, but they're going to play him in left because Adam LaRoche is a good fielding first baseman who can actually hit, as we've seen so far.
And then if these guys bring up Bryce Harper.
Well, you know, Bryce Harper, they don't have to bring him unless he ain't ready.
But I think they are going to bring him up.
For money, they will. Yeah. For money, they will.
Yeah,
for money.
They definitely are. Mm-hmm. When we go from the Nats, 5-2, playing – I guess a lot of people expected the Nats to be good.
They did, actually. Yeah, they were sleeping.
Expecting the Nats to be good to the team up 295, the Orioles.
Yeah, my team.
Your team. Your team lost to my team.
They got swept.
And if you don't know who my team is, the Evil Empire, the New York Yankees.
Yeah, they got swept.
They got swept. 3-0 at Camden Yards.
Yeah, two.
Speak on it.
Two extra inning games. It was great. It was a good series. It's competitive. Other than the first game, it was very competitive. There was some suspect by the Orioles suspect decision makings. Let me go to game two. Pedro Strop throwing a slider to Ibanez, which wasn't needed because Ibanez couldn't hit his fastball. So that one was a suspect move. And even having Kevin Gregg on this team is suspect alone, and they need to get rid of him. Buck Showalter, get rid of Kevin Gregg. I don't know why he's still on the team. We need an extra lefty, and him on the team is a waste of a body. A waste of a body, a waste of an arm, a waste of a soul. Get that man off my damn team.
Speaking of Buck, do you think the guy who you said would basically resurrect this Orioles organization?
We're 3-3. We're doing better.
We're 3-3.
I mean, ain't like folks thought we would be 3-3, but still. I'll let you continue. I'm a little pissed.
Yeah, I can tell in your voice. That's why I'm trying to antagonize you.
Yeah, I can tell.
Buck, do you think he should make some changes to the lineup?
Well, I think he's doing too many changes. Every game we have a different lineup. I would like to see Nolan Ramo until B. Robbie gets back leading off. I actually would drop Hardy down the lineup to six. I think Hardy's not a typical two man. He likes to pull the ball. He likes to try to hit home runs. We need a guy who can do it all and at the two spot. So either you can put Wilson Benjamin at the two spot or Nick Johnson or Robert Andino, whatever. But put somebody else in the two spot, and then everything else go down. Everything else goes down smoothly. Reynolds could be seven. All I need is the Orioles to make sure that certain folks aren't in certain positions where they need to be. Certain folks play the right way when it comes to situational hitting. That's my main thing, period. If they can do that, I don't think Hardy does it well at the two spot. Drop him to six, at least six. When he's hitting six, he could try to hit home runs, and that could be his move.
All right, the Orioles' bats were pretty dead against the Yankees, but one of their starting pitchers, Brian Matsu, he was rocked by the
Brian
Yankees.
Brian Mattis. Yeah, not Matsu. He ain't Asian. He's
whatever,
Mattis.
Dude. Whatever. Yeah, you know, listen, you know I have a hard time pronouncing people's names.
I know, man. I know a lot of people. Some call him Brian Matus. It's really Brian Mattis.
All right, if he has a shaky next start, do you think the Orioles should send him to AAA ball?
His next start, if he has a shaky next start, depending on what happens at AAA with Bergeson and Tillman and even Birkins, if he has a shaky start, yes, he could be benched. But I don't expect for him to be benched. I think his first game he overthrew the ball. He was not, instead of pitching, he was overthrowing the ball. I think I believe in his next outing you'll see the real Brian Mattis. His opening start is always a situation where you're overly hyped up. You know what I mean? So in pitching you need to be centered, and he wasn't centered. So I think that was his downfall. So I expect him to pitch well against Toronto. I believe he's pitching against Toronto. His next start is Saturday. Yeah, because Hunter pitches tomorrow. So his next start is Saturday. So he'll have a lot of time to get ready, and I have confidence in him. He's a talented kid.
Speaking of a guy who have a lot of time on his hands and time to be ready, but time he comes back and joins his organization, Ozzie Guillen. He was recently suspended 5 games for his comments about Fidel Castro. For those of you who don't know, in the Time magazine, he was quoted as saying he loves Fidel Castro. As we know, the Marlins have recently changed their name from the Florida Marlins to the Miami Marlins. Their stadium, their brand new spanking stadium, is actually in the neighborhood of Little Havana. Miami is a city that has a large Cuban population. A lot of people were shaken up over this. A lot of people were saying they were calling for his head. It seems like after a couple of days and people have had the opportunity to really let it digest and read his full comments, that a lot of people have said that I don't think it's that bad.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
I took it was this. He said, I got respect for Castro. People hate him. And he's still alive.
Yeah, I think that his comments were taken out of context Because if you really think about it, if you know the history of the U.S. and Cuba, Fidel Castro sits on a tiny island 50 miles away from the biggest mega power in the world, the U.S. And he's literally had his middle finger up at them for the past 50 years.
Yeah.
And the guy, there's been numerous opportunities. The United States government tried to get the mob to assassinate Fidel Castro. They've had many rogue operations to try to assassinate Fidel Castro. They've even tried to infiltrate his inner circle to kill Fidel Castro. And the guy's still alive. I think what he's saying is he has an immense amount of respect for a guy who's held his middle finger up at the United States for the past 50 years and is still alive.
I don't see a problem with that.
I can see, you know, just like now we'd also have to be sensitive to the history of those who were in Cuba and those who opposed Fidel Castro's political views and whose family or relatives or close ones who were killed by a firing squad at the hands of Fidel Castro.
I watched Scarface.
You're so ignorant.
I did.
Exactly. But I can understand why some people may be upset. Well, I really don't. No, I can see why this is a sensitive subject for some people who actually lived it, actually went through it. For them to hear a person say, "I love Fidel Castro, I respect Fidel Castro because of the images they had of Fidel Castro and what they went through just to get over here to Miami, get to U.S., you know. But I do think his comments were taken out of context somewhat. And if you read, there was his first word. Up until that point, his words were spoken in Spanish, and then he spoke in English when he said, "I love Fidel Castro." At the press conference, he does look like he was very humbled.
They did.
Yeah, he usually, Ozzie Guillen is F you, me against the world, but he spoke slowly. He said he felt he was very sincere. I do think that the Marlins fouled up on this from a PR standpoint. He should have at least said that he's suspended indefinitely because of all the uproar, and then you could bring him back possibly after 5 games. If you suspend him indefinitely, and then, okay, this thing dies down, you take the temperature of the town, all right, you bring him back after 5 games. You say he's shown enough contrition, he's shown enough remorse that he's really sorry, and we can bring him back after 5 games. But don't just say, "I want to suspend you for 5 games, and that's it."
You think those people protesting are folks that actually go to the games?
No.
I ain't worried about them. I'm gonna be real. I ain't worried about them. Like, for real, honestly, it just sets a dangerous precedent. We're in America. It's freedom of speech.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unfortunately, it is the truth, but it's freedom of speech. So why is he getting suspended for something he said?
The stadium is in Little Havana. That's why he got suspended.
I know. I'm just saying. Like, but those people aren't going to the games. They're not the ones going to games. It's like
you never know. I do think that there'll be protests once he comes back, just like there was protests when Michael Vick came back.
And were those same people at the games, going to the games?
Nah, but just like
how
anything.
Many did y'all sell out? Did y'all sell out games?
Who?
The Eagles. They sell out games?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. Those people ain't hurting my feelings.
Yeah, but just like anything in America, people argue over it while it's a hot topic, but as time goes on and it dies down, people won't stand up for anything. So I really don't expect this to be that big an issue for a long time.
They ain't saying these folks aren't going to say nothing when it's
over.
No. It's all
especially
said,
if he wins. If he wins.
That's the thing.
If he wins, if he could bring another World Series championship to Miami, it's all forgotten.
I pray that this dude goes with Miami, goes like 20, have like a 20-game winning streak. I want to see these same people protest. If you're that strong in your conviction, do it when you're winning. I want to see you come to the games, complain. We hate Ozzy when he's giving you 20 games in first place in the NL East. Please come out. Same folks with Vic, they're not there anymore.
Yeah, they are.
They're not there. Where is your dog snap now? Where are your dogs at now?
I know it's not on the outline, and we're about to wrap this show up, but during the week, over the past week, Bobby Petrino was fired.
Good job,
from Arkansas as the the Arkansas Razorbacks. Anyone who keeps up with college football knows that this upcoming season was supposed to be the season where they could potentially contend for a national title. Bobby Petrino was fired with cause by the university for lying on his police report and also for hiring the woman, his mistress.
Real quick.
What?
What is Bobby short for? I mean, what's Bobby like a nickname for? Robert.
Robert?
R. Kelly. Continue.
Shut up, man. Wally was alluding to that because Bobby Petrino was 51 years old, and the woman he was with at the time was 25 years old. She was a recruiting coordinator for Arkansas football. Yeah. He recently hired her. He also gave her $20,000, and there was also
exchange for money for sex?
I'm not going to say it's exchange for money, but there was
an
improper relationship between the two.
So you're saying she was a hoe?
I'm not saying she's a hoe.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that. She's also, and to put the cherry on top, she was also supposed to be married June 9th to a guy who's a swimming instructor at the university.
Arkansas?
Yeah.
She's a hoe. Hoe!
The thing is, there's been a lot of character flaws in Bobby Petrino in the past.
Yeah, it really has.
Starting from his days as the head coach of Louisville, right after the season, while he engaged in conversations to take over at Auburn as their head coach, even though the head coach at the time wasn't even fired.
That's true.
Then he left Louisville and went to Atlanta. He did Atlanta dirty. He left a note on the player's locker with three games left to saying, basically, I'm out of here and I'm going back and I'm going to Arkansas.
You know who's mad about that?
Who?
Ray was pissed. He hates Bobby Petrino.
Some would say that this is karma catching up to him.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not going to say it's karma, nonetheless. I will say that it just goes to reflect the character of this guy. And you had to get rid of him. You know, this guy essentially hired his mistress, and she was paid with state funds. I don't care about the extramarital affair.
Yeah, I don't care about it either. But what he was doing with the money, though.
Yeah, what he was doing with the money was state fund money. That's why you had to get rid of the guy. And also, he tried to manipulate a police report by saying... Yeah, he called one of the cops, who was a cop who escorts a state trooper who escorts him around during game day, and told him, all right, this is what we're going to say. But ultimately, the cop did the right thing and said, no, there was also a passenger with him, this young lady.
Yeah.
So, Bobby Petrino... he'll definitely get another job.
Yeah.
He'll definitely get another job in this landscape of college football.
He'll find another hoe.
Because he's a successful college football coach. Whether his wife stays with him, whether his whole family situation, I don't know about that.
Hey, if she stays with him, all praise to her. That's standing by your man. But for his mistress, you call her mistress, it is what it is to me, man. She a hoe.
Bust down.
She a hoe.
Scallywag.
She a scallywag. Yes, sir. You know what I mean? So, she got it probably R. Kelly style. It's all good. Probably got pissed on. Things of that sort. You know what I mean?
Possibly. They might be down there. They might like that thing in Pick Suey Nation.
They might. I don't know, man. I want to piss on you. Drip, drip, drip. Piss, piss, piss. I want to pee on you.
All right, man. But let's stop talking about this young lady, man. This wraps up another show. Show 100 for the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, man. Classic.
We appreciate you all. Thanks for showing us the love. Four episodes from now, there'll be the 2-year anniversary for us.
Yeah.
We plan on doing it at Champs.
Yeah, do it. Let's do it at Champs. Yeah, let's do it there.
Me, you, hopefully Ray will be there.
Al. Maybe we get everybody there.
Have a good time. Thanks for the support. Love you all. See you next week.
Urban Sports Scene, Eyes Radio for IGIS.
Deuces, bitches!